WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Reports. Iran's supreme leader is vowing Israel will pay heavily after its warplanes hit more than 100 military sites inside Iran, as well as the nation's nuclear program. Prime Minister Netanyahu.
The Jewish state refuses to be a victim of a nuclear holocaust perpetrated by the Iranian regime.
CBS's Robert Berger from Jerusalem.
This is not a one-off kind of a strike. This is going to come in waves with Israel attacking Iran. And certainly Iran is going to be launching ballistic missiles and drones toward Israel.
Israel says it notified the White House before the attack. Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
So far, it appears Israel's air defenses, thanks in part to American-provided equipment, they're able to repel any retaliation, responding to what Israel did overnight.
President Trump says, quote, Iran must make a deal before there's nothing left. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republicans are still working to limit the governor's partial veto power after failing to do it in court. On Wednesday, lawmakers testified on their proposed resolution seeking an amendment to the state constitution to limit the governor's veto power to only full sections of an appropriations bill or to reduce spending. In order to make the change in the state constitution, the resolution needs to pass in consecutive legislative sessions and be put on a ballot referendum. Currently, the governor has the power to veto numbers, words, and punctuation in spending bills. Republican state lawmakers are proposing new legislation that would create a pilot program for the use of virtual reality technology in schools. Under the pilot program, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction would select one urban, one suburban, and one rural school district and distribute 32,000 VR headsets to 16,000 students. The goal is to use the headsets to get those students more engaged in math lessons. Similar programs in other states have seen success with using VR technology to improve math scores. City of Menominee officials are reminding area residents that Phase 2 of the Pine Avenue construction project is set to get underway on Monday. According to a social media post, Phase 2 of the project will require the closure of Pine Avenue from Game Park Road to the Wakanda Elementary School driveway. Pine Avenue will remain open from the driveway to Wilson Street, and a signed detour will be posted directing traffic to John Russell Road, Game Park Road, and 21st Avenue. The Maple Avenue entrance to Wakanda Park will also remain open. Two Republican state lawmakers from western Wisconsin have proposed legislation to purchase and reopen the Libertas Treatment Center in Chippewa Falls. The Substance Abuse Treatment Center closed last year along with the HSHS hospitals and Purveya clinics in the region. Those closures left residents in the region without access to critical health care, including emergency treatment and mental health treatment. The legislation would allocate $1 million of the state budget to purchase and renovate the site. The facility would be operated by Lutheran Social Services. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
That's a wrap on minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Packers completed their three-day minicamp. Linebacker Quay Walker unable to practice. He suffered an ankle injury at the end of last season. Matt LaFleur presenting Mark Murphy, an autographed helmet signed by all the players. Murphy stepping down after 17 years as team president. The NBA Finals continue tonight. The Pacers up 2-1 over the Thunder, led by Tyrese Halliburton.
Experience is the best way that I can learn from it. You know, taking what the defense gives me, trying to play the right way, and watch film, see where I can get better and be ready to go for game four.
Baseball, Brewers and Cardinals tonight in Milwaukee. The Crew winning 6-0 last night in the series opener, but pitcher Aaron Civale, not happy about being moved to the bullpen, says he called his agent about being traded.
We're exploring opportunities for me to get back into a rotation, whether that's here or elsewhere. That'll give me the chance to do what I do best, and that's go out there and start. Like I said, I still feel like I have a lot to give.
That's Aaron Civale with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, more scattered storms, low in the low to mid-50s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers or thundershowers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off,
and give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, his new column suggests Governor Evers should not run for another term. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. It is 8:06 now on this Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th of June, 2025. Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor is standing by. We'll talk about her campaign for a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court coming up in just a bit. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along for that as well. Mike Clemens will give us an update on all kinds of sports heading into the weekend. But let's get all of it started first with an updated forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and that river o' rain that is just going to keep pouring over us throughout the course of the, foreseeable future, I guess, Brittany.
Yeah, sure will, unfortunately. At least the next 24 hours, probably through a good chunk of this weekend, especially up north, Northwoods. We're getting hit right now from Eau Claire to Wausau to Rhinelander. A lot of the places seeing anywhere from a half an inch to an inch and a half of rainfall already. We've got another inch or two left to go. So we are in a marginal risk for excessive rainfall, which of course could create some flooding as we go into the weekend. It is cloudy for much of the state up north. Some spots of sunshine still hanging on far southwest. And we are going to be looking at that rain just soaking north of I-29 throughout most of the day into tomorrow. It starts to wind down a little bit on Sunday, but we do have another round that wants to push through once again late at night. Some showers and thunderstorms. But in terms of temperatures today, we'll hit the mid-50s far north, mid-70s far south. Tomorrow, as that spotty rain lingers, especially far northeast, we are looking at highs in the 60s there, 80 degrees far south. And then Sunday, a lot of the state stays dry until late at night. We're looking at 70s out there. So a decent weekend, but a lot of rain splashed in there, unfortunately.
Yeah, so get the mower out next week. Be prepared.
Yeah.
You might have two-a-days coming up the way things are going to grow there. On Facebook from Greg in Waukesha, good morning to Parker. Parker, because I am totally blind, what color shirt are you wearing today? This, of course, would have something to do with his very pink shirt yesterday. Is that a Madison Mallard's shirt by chance?
This is a Madison Mallard's shirt. So this is like a hunter green shirt for you there, Greg. And
right.
The logo is an alternate identity of the Muskellards. It is a muskie combined with a mallard. And
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, and there are different versions of it for like different players. And I, of course, went with the bench warmer, who's kicking his feet up, having some bubble gum.
Well, it's no hodag, but it'll do. It'll get the job done.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's hysterical.
Now we know. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. It is 8:09 right now. And let's see. I had one note on the text line from our last segment. We were talking about ABC's Terry Moran and parting ways after a Trump remark from Steve in Milwaukee. Thank you, Pat, for talking about the Terry Moran story. Too much pressure is being put on these news outlets by the orange. No, I shouldn't say that word on the radio. We already have too much sane washing as it is. So thank you, Steve, for the comment on there. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us just ahead of Judge Chris Taylor. How are you today, Dr. Lyerly?
You know, Living the dream.
getting set for the Dr. Kristen Lierley show on tomorrow.
Yes, I talked with Pete Schwab. I thought maybe we needed a little oasis of entertainment in the midst of all of the craziness. Uh-huh. So Pete and I just chat about entertainment and his career and how a kid from Marinette, Wisconsin could make it in the big time and keep doing it, keep uplifting people with entertainment and music and love.
That's great. And then you, of course, like my wife, are OBGYNs. And so you both get daily newsletters from the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology.
This was a shocker, Pat.
Thank you for sharing the headline in today's daily newsletter. You want to read that headline to us, please?
Yes. New mothers experience significant loss of uninterrupted sleep through week 13 postpartum, study finds.
Study finds. That's the latest from the medical journal, duh. Stay tuned for their sun rises in the east. But yeah, I suppose that checks out. Let's bring in Judge Chris Taylor herself with can also testify to the lack of sleep that comes with parenthood. Chris, yes. Judge Taylor, good morning.
Good morning. I would say it extends to year 18. Maybe.
Amen, sister. Yes.
says Dr. Lierley with her four boys. Rob from Tigerton putting on YouTube. Kristen has a really great radio show.
Rob.
That's why we gave her one here. And I asked Kristen if she wouldn't mind sharing her block with Judge Taylor, and you were quick to say yes because of the importance of this Supreme Court race next year and the thing that ties you both, and that is that support for, you know, women's health care rights.
Mm-hmm. Right, Kristen? We go way back. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Judge, let's start there. Judge Chris Taylor served in the Assembly. I was serving in the State Senate. She's had a lot of work before and since then. She's also got a dog, unless Kristen's got one in the hotel over there.
That's a Ollie. Yes.
I quickly add, we are extremely pet friendly on that. We encourage pets during interviews. So with that, Judge Taylor, let's turn it over to you to talk just very briefly about why you made the decision. You could have stayed cozy there on that State Court of Appeals. Why run for a spot on the state Supreme Court next year?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here. This is one of my favorite things to do, talk to you all and hear from people all over our state. But I am running. Look, I've had a 30-year legal career as a private practitioner. I was the law and policy director for Planned Parenthood, went on to the state legislature. Now I've been a judge for the last 5 years. And my passion, my commitment throughout my career has been to protecting people's constitutional rights and making sure that they have access to justice. Courts have to be a place where Wisconsinites can count on their rights and freedoms being protected, being respected. And that has been my commitment throughout my entire career. It's critical that courts remain fair and independent. And the independence of the judiciary, I think, is really come into play as we've seen attacks on judges. And so that's why I'm running. And I'm running against somebody who really has spent her time and her legal career not protecting rights, but taking rights away. And I think that is the antithesis of what courts do. This is Justice Rebecca Bradley, who I'm running against. She's really spent her career and certainly her time on Wisconsin Supreme Court pursuing a very extreme right-wing agenda to hear cases that could gut our election. She's voted to hear the Trump lawsuit back to overturn the 2020 election. Certainly is very hostile to respecting women's constitutional rights and their rights to make their own personal private healthcare decisions. And also has been very much antagonistic towards fair maps and letting voters pick their elected representatives instead of the other way around.
I would again, add that I've said many a time that it feels like her entire career, not just since her first appointment to the bench by Scott Walker, but dating well back before then, has felt like an ongoing audition, you know, for a show on Fox News or one of these other places. Her record is extremely well documented. So is yours, the work that you've done. And what I've noticed, what I'm already noticing in this race, just like the last couple of races, is that yeah, you have a record of employment or other actions that you've done, but it is, talk about the importance of being upfront with your values as much as it is about your particular experience.
Well, look, this is, voters are placing an extraordinary amount of trust in the people that they elect to our highest court, which is just going to become more and more important as I think we see things unfold at the federal level. But my values, are upfront and on display. And my passion, my values are about making sure the people of the state of Wisconsin are treated fairly and with respect and have access to the judiciary, that their rights are respected, not taken away, and that they have a chance to get fairness in an impartial, independent way. You know, my values are reflected in the things that I worked on when I was in the legislature, from protecting access to abortion and reproductive health care to making sure our water was safe, addressing lead poisoning in children, which we had a real problem with when I was in the legislature and persists to this day, and also making sure that workers are treated fairly and get an actual slice of the pie that they make and not just crumbs. So those are my values. I think they're reflective of Wisconsin values. And I am very proud of the things I've worked on. I'm not shying away from them. Of course, as a judge, I'm not a policymaker. I interpret the law, I apply the law, but my eye is always towards justice. That is the point of having a judiciary.
You're not a policymaker now, but you have been in the past. And that, I think, separates you from the last two Supreme Court now justices, Janet Protasiewicz and Susan Crawford, who don't have a history of having participated in the legislature. How will that affect your campaign and the way that you rule from the bench?
Well, look, I think that being a legislator makes me a better judge, and it has made me a better judge. And one reason why is because I saw so directly as a legislator how the law impacts people's lives. I had constituents coming to my office talking to me on a daily basis about laws they wanted to see, things they needed. I had victims of sexual assault come to me and tell me, I need to be able to protect my address from my abuser. So I worked on a bipartisan bill called the Safe at Home Bill, which allowed victims of domestic violence and sexual assault to not disclose their addresses so their abusers couldn't find them. So I understand, in my experience being a legislator, really underscored the law is about people. People have to be the center of what we do in the judiciary. It's not about making sure the big money special interests have their way, which is what we saw the attempt of a billionaire to buy the last Supreme Court seat. It's not about that. This is about ordinary, everyday Wisconsinites making sure our courts are there to protect them, to listen to them, and to give justice to them. So being a legislator has made me a better judge, no doubt about that.
I've got under a minute here to before the break here. So let me ask just the very brief biographical info that people might want to know about you, your family, your education, any background like that.
Sure. Well, I've lived in Wisconsin my entire adult life. My family has very strong roots to Wisconsin going back to the 1850s. But I came back to Wisconsin for law school almost 35 years ago. And have really been influenced in my life by my grandmother, who was left to really support three kids on her own, had to go back to work, couldn't survive until she got a union job and made a fair wage and sent my mom and her two brothers to college, and they all became teachers. So I've been very much impacted. She also was a woman of deep faith. And she taught me that your life is about doing good for people. That's why you're put on this earth. And she exemplified that. Every Sunday after church, she would go visit her friends who were in nursing homes, knitting blankets for the hospital, sometimes, dragging my sister and I with her. We weren't as enthusiastic about that. But those values have just, they just center me. It's who I am.
Judge Chris Taylor is a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court that we're visiting here on these mornings powered by Up North News. A local update is next for some of you. Others will stick around here, and then after the break and in about 15 minutes, Mike Clemens will be along with a weekend sports preview from the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and senior county official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP county commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claimed that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin.
Chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We got baseball tonight. Brewers, St. Louis Cardinals. Coverage starts at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations. Head over to the website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. And remember, you can always get our daily newsletter here at Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up at the top there and be a subscriber to one or two or all three of our newsletters, the weekday one, Saturday sports, Sunday politics, the one that I write and put together. We'd love to have you as a subscriber and as a regular reader to the newsletter, on the website, and on social media as well. Let's continue our conversation now with State Supreme Court candidate, Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here with us as well. And let me start first by saying that this election, April of next year, would have a primary in February of next year if there are more than two candidates for the race. Now, assuming Justice Rebecca Bradley wants to run for another 10-year term, if somebody else gets in the race, as well as Judge Taylor here, there'd be a primary for the three or more candidates that get in. The top two vote-getters would then move on to the April general election. I say all that by way of background because I don't know whether there will be other candidates given the endorsements, Judge Taylor, that you have collected already, starting with a few people with the word justice before their name.
Well, I'm really honored to have the endorsement of Justices Dalit Karofsky Protasiewicz and Justice-elect Susan Crawford. It shows that they have confidence that I'm going to be the kind of justice that the people in Wisconsin really deserve and put them and their rights first and foremost, and also protecting our democracy first and foremost and the independence of the judiciary. So I have known each of those justices in different capacities. They know how hard I work. They know how much I care about people. They know my commitment to justice. In fact, Justice-elect Crawford and I were next door neighbors when I was on the circuit court. So we worked together a lot, and she was one of the people who I would go and chat with about different legal issues, and we would collaborate a lot. And that's one thing I just love about the appellate court is you get to collaborate, you're writing decisions together, and you get to hear what other people think, what other justices are thinking about an issue. So you get a better product when you do that, but you have to be willing to collaborate. And I think that's another area where I'm so different than Justice Rebecca Bradley, who does not seem interested in collaborating with people who do not think exactly like she does, as she indicated the night of Justice-elect Crawford's election.
Let's talk about abortion. Because you have a strong relationship in the past with Planned Parenthood, of course. You've been, you served on the assembly. This is an issue that is very important to you. In past Supreme Court races, it has been a firebrand issue. It's been something that the other side has used to against, in many ways, against the candidates, especially Protasiewicz and Crawford. How will that play out in your campaign, given that you have been so forward with this issue throughout your career?
It's, you know, this is one of my values. I value women and individuals' ability to make their own personal private healthcare decisions. I have gone through two pregnancies. I have birthed two children. And what I've been through and my experiences and the medical care that I needed, both to get pregnant, to stay pregnant, and then to have healthy pregnancies and birth, is really nobody's business, quite frankly. It is my relationship with my doctor that's important. It's being able to access the health care that I needed to. And I had a very high risk pregnancy, one of my last pregnancy with my younger son. So it is just no one's business. It is my the decisions that I make with my husband, with my family, with my doctor. How can, you know, it's just kind of mind-boggling to me that we think politicians are better positioned to make these decisions. So that is my value, though I value those things. And that is, those are the values that I bring to this race.
And let's not sugarcoat this. Rebecca Bradley is a tenacious campaigner. She's going to have the entire Republican apparatus behind her. So, I mean, your record as a legislator on things like voter ID and Act 10 and all of that are going to be essentially fair game. But so is everything that she has ever written about. And as we've noted, she's done a lot of writing of opinions. And so how am I trying to say this? I'm trying to say it's probably going to be a fair fight. You know, if the election turns out this way, of two people who are capable communicators, capable of conveying values. And so where do you get the edge, Judge Taylor, in talking to that moderate voter, that swing voter, however you want to put it?
Well, look, I think most Wisconsinites don't want a politician in the in their healthcare examination rooms. So I don't think that my value, I think my values are reflective. When Rebecca Bradley was writing about opposing abortion, that abortion should be illegal, I was out in college volunteering for Planned Parenthood to try to keep that clinic open in my college town so women could access health care. You know, when she was writing that pharmacists should be able to refuse birth control prescriptions, I was working at Planned Parenthood on a bill called the Prescription Protection Act to make sure no woman was left at the pharmacy counter without having her birth control prescription filled. So this is a stark contrast between us. But I think my values are more reflective of the vast majority of Wisconsinites. You know, I don't think Wisconsinites want the politicians to be making these decisions for them. It impacts every aspect of a woman's life when these decisions are taken away.
For more information, you can head over to Chris for Justice, C-H-R-I-S, chrisforjustice.com. Chris Taylor, Judge Chris Taylor, thank you very much for your time. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, thank you for joining us for the segment. Appreciate
seeing
both of you.
It's always a blast. Great to see you, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judge. And Kristen, we'll see you Monday morning, I believe. All right. Have a wonderful weekend. Mike Clemens coming up next to tell us about sports right after this. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A new report by the Wisconsin Policy Forum found Wisconsin gets less funding per resident from the federal government than almost any other state. The report, based on 2022 federal tax data, found that Wisconsin ranked 41st in the country for the amount of federal funding received per resident. In total, the state received an average of a little less than $15,000 of federal funding per resident. While Wisconsin ranks towards the bottom of that list, experts are still warning that further federal budget cuts could have a significant impact on the state. Newly proposed legislation in Wisconsin would allocate $30 million to schools across the state to improve security measures. Under the bill, each school would receive a maximum grant funding award of $20,000 for things like shatter-resistant glass, reinforced doors, cameras, and security training for staff members. The grant funding would be distributed in addition to funding set aside in previous legislation that created a $100 million grant program for safety improvements, as well as the Wisconsin Office of School Safety. A Chippewa County nonprofit will reduce its services this year amid significant funding cuts. Officials from RiverSource Family Center say the organization is primarily funded by grants, as well as donations from foundations and local residents. With the end of grant funding from the American Rescue Plan Act, the organization will lose about $130,000 of funding. They have also received less funding from United Way this year. Organization officials are looking for alternative grant funding sources, as well as community donations. An arrest warrant has been issued for a Cornell man accused of stealing cash from his grandparents in Barron County. According to court documents, 28-year-old Tristan Stokes was officially charged with burglary and theft last week. His grandparents originally reported the theft to law enforcement authorities last June, claiming Stokes had stolen between $4,000 and $5,000 from their safe. The complaint alleges Stokes admitted to taking the money in September, but said he had worked out a plan with his grandparents to pay it back without criminal charges. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. David Lynch was prepping a Netflix series before he passed away earlier this year at the age of 78. According to IndieWire, he had assembled a cast of his favorites, including Naomi Watts, Kyle MacLachlan, and Laura Dern, for a show he was prepping called Unrecorded Night. Lynch's daughter Jennifer, also a filmmaker, says there was a finished script that might now be released as a book, adding that she and her siblings would not try to make one of his ideas themselves. Sources say the show was set in Los Angeles in Old Hollywood. Would have been nice to see what he did with that. Actor Harris Yulin has passed away at the age of 87. Yulin's credits include films like Ghostbusters, Scarface, and Clear and Present Danger. But recently, he was probably most recognizable for his role as Buddy in Ozark, the old tough guy who lived with the Bird family. Yulin was nominated for an Emmy Award for his guest appearance on the show Frasier. He was an old-school actor who had passion for the craft and was a solid addition to any cast he joined. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today with a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, more scattered storms, low in the low to mid-50s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy scattered showers or thundershowers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago, but now I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actress Stephanie Gurnow, comedian Steve Hofstetter, and it's a bar band Friday night, so I'm joined by Max Inc. host Rocker, who is filling in for Terry Barr. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Mike Lemons is standing by. All kinds of Wisconsin sports to get to in just a second, but first I have to subject Parker and Dr. Lyerly here to my love of playoff hockey. So there we are in the Stanley Cup Finals. It was game four, and Florida was up 3-0 in Florida after the first period. And of course, Pat went to bed because Pat's got to get up early. So here's what happened since then. Edmonton came all the way back, tied it, then went ahead 4-3. Then with 20 seconds left, Florida ties the game 4-4. The crowd goes wild in Miami. We go off to overtime. Edmonton scores in overtime, wins the game 5-4. The series is tied 2 games apiece. Game 5 is tomorrow night in Edmonton. There will be a Game 6 Tuesday in Florida. If necessary, Game 7 will be next Friday in Edmonton. And Parker and Kristen don't look nearly as excited as I do in telling you about that.
I saw it. I stayed up for it.
I'm in the Hockey Central.
That's true. You are. You're up on Derange.
I am. So. I can almost see the back of your hair growing as you're talking about that. Sorry.
I have good flow. I understand. All right. Having got that out of the way, let's get more Wisconsin centric here and bring Mike Lemons into the mix. Mike, how are you?
Very good, Dr. Lyerly. I really enjoy. I've heard your show several times on the weekends. Great information, particularly changes that's going on with some of the federal cuts and all that, and how that affects you physicians and all that. It's really good information. So how is everybody?
Well, that's Kristen's a lot better now.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
Mike, the range of emotions. I'm watching Florida go down 3-0. I'm watching Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce cheering for Florida in the crowd, which was kind of depressing. And meanwhile, on my TV, or on my phone rather, I'm watching the baseball game. And I'm getting so excited about this new pitcher, Jacob Mizorowski, 23 years old. He's pitching up to 102 miles an hour. He's pitching no hits in the first, second, third, fourth. 5 innings of no hit ball.
A no hitter
into the sixth inning, and he rolls his ankle, has some cramps, leaves, and it was all I could do not to cry.
It was so brutal.
But you're here to tell us it doesn't seem to be serious.
Now, you and Pat Murphy both, you know, just like this girl's like, why can't we have nothing nice here? Jacob Mizorowski, 23 years old, he threw one 103 miles an hour, the fastest since they've been keeping that particular kind of stat, the way they measure it. He had 14 pitches over 100 miles an hour last night, Pat.
That's over amazing. 14.
Amazing.
Mowing these guys down, comfortable, 6'7". And he kind of looks like a giraffe out there in the mound. And you're right. So they send him back out there in six. He's got a no-hitter going. Family's up there in the stands. And the right foot comes forward and goes wobbles like, oh, what the hell was that? And he said, I cramps, you know, he dehydrated, maybe nerves, you know, who knows, in the calf and also in the quad. And, you know, the trainer came running out there right away because that just didn't look right. And Murph said, you know, sit him down. It's fine. Hey, we got 5 innings out of him. Way to go, kid. You know, go in there. And they went on to win 6-0 last night, beat the Cardinals. Cardinals are in second place behind the Cubs. Brewers in third in their division right now. And, you know, afterwards, a kid who's, you know, 23 going on 30, very, very mature, talked to reporters and said, yeah, it's just some cramps. You know, should be okay. So they've got that. But, again, can't have nothing nice because Aaron Civale, who had recently come back from injury, but they picked up, you know, as a veteran for the rotation about a year ago, when Murph informs him, okay, hey, listen, we're going to move you to the bullpen now. He's like, no, you're not. No, I'm not a bullpen guy. Never have been. Not going to be. Calls his agent. And then, you know, he stand up. He talked to reporters before last night's game and said, I know this is going to look disingenuous or like I'm, you know, an antagonist or something, But and my wife and I have enjoyed our year here in Milwaukee. I'm not a bullpen guy. I'm not going to the bullpen, and I've called my agent, and whether I'm a starter here or somewhere else, but, you know, we're asking for a trade. So they got that drama going on. In the meantime, the next game of this four-game Cardinals-Brewers series is tonight, 7:10 at AmFam Field.
That's right, 6:35 the pregame on several Civic Media stations. The NBA Finals continue in Indianapolis. How surprised are you that the Pacers are up 2-1 over Oklahoma City?
I don't know, because of the way they mowed down the Bucks, the Cavs, and the Knicks, you know?
Yeah.
And the kid from Wisconsin, Tyrese Halliburton, out of Oshkosh North High School, led his high school team to the state championship in Wisconsin. I think it was back in 2018, and they won. You know, average numbers, like the other night, he had 22 points. I think it was 10 assists and 9 rebounds. He just turns it on in the last 5 minutes and just closes the deal on these games to take Indy, and taking advantage of playing in Indianapolis these games. They're going up 2-1 over the OKC Thunder. The Thunder, by the way, they've never won it. Did you realize it's already been since 2008? Since the Supersonics moved to,
I was going
to
say,
Oklahoma
I still
City.
Think of them as Seattle's team, yeah. But it's been that long already.
I remember the Supersonics did win an NBA title in 79. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years later, I got my start. As a matter of fact, a guy that went to my high school, Bill Hanslick, got into the NBA, and I got in the locker room to see him. And so they were a really good franchise back then. He played in the NBA for 15 years. But yeah, you know, listen, the Pacers are playing through. And you know what? At the end of the day, Pat, when you're in these championships, it's coaching. It's Rick Carlisle. You know, the way he's rotating these guys, it's coaching.
It is. And the kid, Tyrese Halliburton, he sounded real humble in the clips I heard this week. He knows to step up in the moment. He gave great credit to his coach at Oshkosh North. And so this guy's been seen as kind of a villain for some. A lot of Bucks fans didn't like the something about him. But I tell you, listening to him, you know, you can understand why a lot of folks around Oshkosh are rooting for the Pacers.
Oh, yeah. And Indiana's just going nuts. I mean, because they could actually win their first NBA title like that, you know, in the Hoosier State. Yeah, crazy. So he's 25 years old, point guard, and he could be the next rock star of the NBA.
What did the Wisconsin Badgers allegedly do here for their first NCAA fine for recruiting violations in a long time?
Yeah, this broke yesterday afternoon. I think McIntosh, the athletic director, you know, released this to certain sources. You know, we're in this NIL era in college sports where there's like no rules. It's like the wild, wild west. They're making it up as they go. They're paying millions of dollars now to college athletes. Apparently, the NCAA has fined the Wisconsin Badgers football team. And, man, this is another strike against Luke Fickell for violating recruiting violations. This happened 2 years ago in 2023. Apparently what happened is that the Badgers football program started making their calls to prospective players before the start date. You know, there's rules is when you start making those contacts to the high school kids. And they called up, they made over 100 calls. They were probably all logged, but, later an investigation showed that. So the Badgers have been fined. I don't know if the figure's actually been disclosed. They're under some probation. And that since that rule has been changed, but whatever, like I say, it's another strike during the Luke Fickell era.
Yeah, I mean, again, no pressure, but if the team underperforms this season, I know he got an extension and everything, but he's not winning any popularity contests yet here in Wisconsin.
No, no. In an ever more competitive Big Ten.
Yeah. Let's talk about Packers mini camp, including a very noteworthy departure.
Yeah, Jaire Alexander. The Packers ended up releasing him. So the timeline to this thing was, and there's some people that are disputing, but The Athletic did some excellent reporting. Look, they got to the end of the season, and Brian Gutekunst sits down with Russ Ball, his director of finance, and they say, you know, okay, look, this guy is supposed to be one of the highest paid corners, up to $17 million this year. He's missed, you know, over half the games the last 2 years, three of the last four. We're not paying that this year. We're not. So we're going to be telling them we want them to take a haircut, or we're going to move on. And Jaire's agent said, no, you're not. We're under contract. We've got a great player here. You know that. And so it just sat there. It wasn't contentious. And Gutekunst came to us at practice on Tuesday morning after they'd released him and said, hey, guys, come on over here. Let's talk. So we went into a little garage and talked to him for about 6 or 7 minutes. And he said, yeah, it's not like it's been a day-to-day drama the last 3 months. We set our number, our walk-away number. They had their stance. And he said, you know what? We talked to Jair. I met with Jair in person on Sunday when he came into camp and reported. So, you know, it's like the two sides were talking. But Jair's like, okay, fine, then release me. And he's confident his agent will find him another spot in the NFL and be able to get the money that he feels he deserves. And they turn the page and move on. So the other thing about, you know, minicamp, and of course the Packers, you know, packed a parachute for this when they picked up a veteran, Nate Hobbs, out of the Raiders. They got Keyshawn Nixon moving in the corner. They brought in Mecole Hardman, who'd won 3 Super Bowl rings with the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's going to be their kick and punt returner. At least that's what the feeling is right now. But, you know, Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Packers, was standing next to me in the sidelines the other day. He says, do you think number 6, you know, Hardman can actually make the team as a receiver here? Because they're so deep at receiver now. And just as he said that, Jordan Love lines up on 11-on-11, drops back to pass, and wings one 60 yards in the air. Bam! Bingo, and he hits Mecole Hardman, the former Chief, in stride for like a 70-yard touchdown pass. And I said, I think so, Wayne. I think he's going to make the team.
Nice timing there. And then speaking of Jordan Love, let's talk about Love and marriage. Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers' marriage, not to each other separately, but Jordan Love's got one coming up.
Yeah, all we know about Aaron is he's got a ring on his finger. I think somebody, you know, in the paparazzis has tracked it down. But, you know, Jordan during the Super Bowl, we saw him down in New Orleans during the Super Bowl. He's doing some appearances. And he said, Ronica and I, you know, set a date. They got engaged last year in Italy. So I asked him, they brought him back in the other day. And so they said, questions? And everyone's looking. And they said, Mike, you asked the first question. I said, when's the wedding? He laughed. He said, it's actually coming up. So we get done with these in a couple of weeks. And they're going to have the In-N-Out burger truck at his wedding. So, yeah, he and Ronica are going to get it. The big story, that I think that's so cool, right?
Yes.
The big story, though, that you're going to see from Green Bay is the transition. Mark Murphy, after 17 years, is stepping down as Packers president and CEO. And I've been invited now. This is pretty cool, to a meeting with Ed Policy next week. He's been here 12 years, but he's taken over this summer at the shareholders meeting on the 25th of July. So it's regime change, you know, a new era on top. And you know what? So it reminded me, Pat, remember when Bob Harlan said, you know, I hate to do this, but we've got to move on. We've got to keep up with the other teams. And that he lobbied and got the atrium built, but they had to tear down that old office building. It was the north end of Lambeau Field, the office where Lombardi was and where Holmgren was and all. And just before they tore it down, Mike Sherman, who'd become a Packer historian, head coach at the time, like this is around 2000, said, whoa, wait a minute. I want you guys to save this door. When you move the head coach's office now up to the atrium, I want the Lombardi office door in that office. So I thought that was such a cool move. And now that's already been 25 years ago. 2 years ago, a year ago, they moved, built a whole new football operations thing where they got Gutekunst, LaFleur, all of his coaching staff, and the players' locker room over there. And they've got this locker room renovation going on. So there's more construction going on. And I said, I wonder when they moved the LaFleur office about a year ago, if they remember to save that door. And the facilities guy came over and told me, he says, yep, he's got the Lombardi door. I thought that
okay.
was cool.
Okay, it's not in, cool. not in a dumpster someplace. Mike
it
Clemens.
It's thrown out by remodeling guys, yeah.
No, and it's prone to happening. Mike Clemens, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Everybody, have a great weekend. Thank you, Pat.
All right, thank you, too. Hey, a local update is next for many of you. Others will stick around here with me and Kristen Lively for a final few minutes before we get the weekend started. Again, Monday, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward and author Laura Bird. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So-
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State's Eric Kelder Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Next week on Tuesday, we'll have Hans Breitenmoser in, and I'm sure we will be asking about whether President Trump has flip-flopped on deportations or not after his tweet yesterday, seeming to indicate that he didn't mean for farmers to be hurt by all the roundup of the migrant workers.
That was such a weird message because
yeah,
he
farmers
acknowledged
and
it.
Hospitality. Right. He yeah. said something's going to change.
Well, but first he said, I'm hearing that people are hurting. And then he said, like, I know they're hurting, but he essentially said this still has to happen.
Yes. There was no clarity there, shall we say.
No, I guess we should be used to that by now. Well, can I just make a comment about Mike Clemens?
Yes, by all means.
Mike Clemens Sports Reports, they bring the history, they bring the love, they bring the drama. It's so much more than scores.
Yeah. Tony on YouTube. Mike is great as always.
I was listening. I was like, I want to be part of that. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear more.
Like he's got a rundown. He's like, here's the things I got, and he's got a clock in front of him, and he'll just take that right to the post, and we are good to go. Mm-hmm. On Monday, I mentioned Jeff Mandel will be here from Law Forward to talk a bit more about billionaire bribery at election time, and author Laura Bird will be here talking about memoirs and the difference between memoirs versus an autobiography, which encompasses your whole life, or is a memoir might just tell the story of a particular part of your life, and some memoirs that she would recommend putting on your reading list. Dr. Lyerly, have you ever given thought of writing a memoir?
That's the question I was going to ask you.
Well, I got there first. I'm the host, so you go.
I'm in the soup right now, Pat. I don't have time to think of retrospectively. I'm moving forward.
Okay.
So, no, not really.
Is it something you'd consider doing as a retirement thing?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe if I get to that point where I think my life was really all that interesting and people would like to hear it. Or...
Oh, your life is all that interesting. Oh, my. Every time. Oh, I was, you know, when I met this guy from the BBC who said, here, come shake hands with the queen for a moment. No.
Can I tell you the weird thing that happened to me last week?
Of course you can.
Okay. I got invited to this meeting, a Zoom, with Senator Elizabeth Warren. And I'm thinking this is going to be one of those Zooms where there's like a lot of information and we're all blacked out. And Senator Warren pops in and she says, hi, thanks for showing up. And then they just give us a bunch of information. No, that's not what happened. Senator Warren shows up, says hi to the 20 of us who are on the meeting, and starts taking questions from us. I don't know how I got into this meeting, but I liked it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be fantastic. So
yeah, we talked about the Big Beautiful Bill. We talked about how it is. It's so bad for rural. It's so bad for rural hospitals. It's so bad for folks who live in rural areas. And she said only 1 in 4 people. They have polling that shows only 1 in 4 people in this country really know what's going on with this bill, and really stressed the importance of having these conversations about. I mean, we heard it from Judge Taylor. Your values, what's important to you? How can we stand up and fight for each other? It's not political. It's not what team you're on. It's about being able to pay your bills and get health care and have a house to live in and afford food.
It is. It's all about, it's about values. It's about the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. And it's about not division, which is all you really have from the right wing now, dividing people in so many different ways. So are you, you're going to be up north all weekend, so you won't be at the state Democratic convention.
No, I won't
be there either. Yeah. And I also know a lot of folks are going to be at the state Democratic convention who wish they weren't because of the bad timing. They all like to be at the No Kings rallies that are going to be happening all over the place.
Yes, I think they're doing some sort of No Kings thing at the convention.
Oh, but I'm sure, man, they are. Yeah.
These rallies are everywhere. I'm going to be in Chisholm, Minnesota, home of Moonlight Graham from Field of Dreams. We're going to gather around the Iron Man, but there are going to be some other events up on the Iron Range here. And this is like far northern Minnesota. I mean, there aren't a lot of people here. But we're going to be out here standing up. I know in eastern Wisconsin, all across the lakeshore, from Sturgeon Bay, Algoma, Manitowoc, I think Kewaunee even, there are rallies all across the state, all across the country. This is about getting together with your neighbors, standing up, using your voices, being peaceful, and celebrating community.
You know, I'm visiting friends this weekend. And we might just have to go for a drive and see if there's a rally in Regina, Saskatchewan.
There sure could be.
There will be some outside the borders, believe me. But I will also be intrigued to hear from Dan Schaefer and others. We've certainly heard a lot of reaction to his column about whether Governor Evers should run for a third term or not. And, you know, what will be the result of the state chair's race? Because, again, we've got, you know, three candidates who are going to be running there. So it's funny because it's an off year, but we're not going to lack for discussion topics next week.
I know. Bring the drama. And it's fun and it's meaningful and it's helping. I mean, to me, that's what it's all about. That's why I'm not thinking memoirs right now and I'm thinking action, because there's so much that needs to be done and people want to be part of it. It's just a matter of figuring out where you fit in.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's always kind of these downtimes that attract new people into politics. There are all kinds of people who joined because of the Iraq War back in, you know, 2004, 2005, 2006 area. Mm-hmm. People who got involved during the first Trump term, and now people who are getting involved in this day and age, because, again, much like you once upon a time, they said, I can't just stay in my comfort zone. I have to put my voice out there. I have to put my values out there.
So are you working on your memoirs?
Perpetually. I mean, there's so much up here. There's so much.
Not just talking about his hair, friends.
No, but that's so many stories. And I always get the block of, am I writing a memoir or am I writing like a TV script? Am I writing like a WKRP type of thing with all my TV years? And then you put some of the political stories in there.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants just a rundown, you know, nobody wants just a bulleted list. They want like the color.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Have a great time up there, and we'll see you Monday morning at 6:30.
Sounds good. Safe travels.
All right. Thank you so much. Parker, thank you. Have fun at the Mallards game. Stay dry.
I can only hope, Pat.
We can only hope for you as well. All right. We'll see you on Monday. Thanks to today's guests, Judge Chris Taylor, Kristen Lyerly, Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, Mike Clemens, and all of you for being here today as well. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great weekend. We'll see you here Monday morning up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's been holding talks with world leaders after conducting airstrikes on Iran that are raising fears of an all-out war in the Middle East. Tehran has responded. CBS's Robert Berger from Jerusalem.
So far, they fired 200 drones. Most of them have been shot down, but we can expect ballistic missiles to be headed this way.
Correspondent Ed O'Keefe at the White House.
The president this morning says he warned Iran a potential Israeli military strike on the country would be much worse than anything they know, anticipated, or were told, because Israel uses American military equipment and, quote, they know how to use it.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger says economic fallout is a possibility.
If the conflict leads to a sustained period of higher oil prices, there are going to be long-term inflationary impacts.
Dow futures down 513 just ahead of the open. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.